We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey everyone, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today, I'm interviewing Mary Beth Storjahan of Work Your Wealth. She is an author, a financial planner, and an accountability coach working to help clients in their 20s to 40s make smart, educated decisions with their money. On today's episode, we're talking about money misconceptions and fears, common reasons people seek out a financial planner, and why it's important for you to know your numbers.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Ugh, it's always fun to talk to you. So what is a misconception that business owners tend to have about money?
That it's scary, or maybe that's a true thing, but I don't think it is. Ooh, and another, I mean, you want me to start now? Going down the rabbit hole, I would say that biggest misconception people have around money in their businesses also is that mostly placed on other people. There's always a comparison game, and we've talked about this so much as well. But when, as business owners, we tend to compare ourselves to what other people are doing, and we tend to compare ourselves to social media, and people tend to look at other people's social media or lives and only see the highlights, and they think that other people are doing so much better, have so much more money than they'd likely have.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I feel like that comparison game hits on so many different personal levels, right? Like, not just on money, but like the psyche of it too, of like how their business is growing or how fabulous their life is, or, you know, how adorable their family is, I don't know, or the vacations they take or whatever it might be. And you're right. It absolutely leads to a lot of just assumptions of what people are doing.
Yeah. And then it leads to, I'll never get there, which is the biggest probably misconception of all. A lot of people think that they'll never have financial success or financial clarity or financial peace. And that's a huge misconception, because although it does take work, there's no magic pill. It's just really about taking small steps. We've all built, you know, our businesses, or we're building our businesses one small step at a time. And it works the same exact way with your finances.
I love that. Works the same way with your business goals too. Your like business planning goals and what you do. I love it.
Exactly.
So tell everybody what type of clients you work with. Is it individuals, companies, entrepreneurs? Who is your core client base?
Yes.
All of the above. Yeah.
I work with individuals, I guess I would say individuals, couples, entrepreneurs in their late 20s to probably like mid to late 40s probably. So 20s to 40s are like the people that I work with. A lot of them are entrepreneurial or professional women. And so with that, they obviously are married. And so they come with spouses, and sometimes they come with children. So I'd say that's the subset of who I work with. There's usually some sort of entrepreneur or professional woman involved. And then as another subset, just because of my personal background, I ended up with a kind of a sub niche working with military officers as well, military people, because my husband was in the military. So that kind of, I don't market to as much, but they find me just through kind of word of mouth. But the core of what I do is, I would say, professional entrepreneurial women, and the women in the relationship tend to find me first and then bring in their husbands, who are super excited about working together.
Hey, Patrick was, for all of you guys listening, I personally work with Mary Beth, and she helps us with both my business finances, and then she's also been helping Patrick and I, my husband, take a look at our personal finances just to make sure that we're putting money aside for retirement, and we're saving for different things for the kids, and we're able to pay for the childcare and all the different things that we want, vacations, you know, things we need to pay for and things we want to be able to do as well. So, which brings me to my next question. I know that you work with me personally as well as professionally. Are the bulk of your clients doing the same with you, or do you tend to only work one side or the other?
I'd say the clients that I have, they're also entrepreneurs who work on their businesses as well. So I don't have any, I have one or two off clients who I'll work with just their companies on. But when somebody comes to me, especially because we're small business owners, there's so much intersection in terms of what to pay yourself, how to pay yourself, what are your goals for your business based off of what does your income need to be in the household, that they basically go together at that point in time. So if I do have entrepreneur clients, there is the business planning component as well. You know, making sure you're on track with taxes, making sure you're launching products or services that are actually profitable, understanding, you know, the fixed overhead expenses, what to pay yourself, when to go from LLC to an S-corp to save on taxes. Yeah. Those are all things that really tie into your personal finances as well. And they're often overlooked when you're a solopreneur or a small business owner.
Yeah, I agree. I think that when you're getting started, most people do think about these things, but you also need to reassess a couple of years into your business and make sure you're still in the right business formation and doing the right things for where your business is at now. I don't know. I think those were some of the things I overlooked when I started too. I'm an LLC. We're thinking about moving to S Corp, like all these different things that you just need to be kind of finessing and reassessing as you go.
And that's what a lot of people do. They forget to do the reassessment, especially as business owners, right? Trying to build a business. You don't necessarily want to focus on these other areas. And the interesting part for me is working with creatives too and getting them to pay attention. So I have a subset. I have different subsets of entrepreneurs I work with the creatives. Love what they do so much. And they're so passionate about creating and art and those things too, that sometimes it's hard to get me to refocus. It's hard for me to get them to refocus in the areas that will actually make sure they're not as stressed in life, which would be the numbers. The big thing I usually say is setting, a time every quarter, every 6 months, just to reevaluate on a huge, on a bigger financial picture for yourself. Obviously, monthly, weekly, if possible, day-to-day number type things, but you want to reevaluate where your business is at and what your goals are for yourself on a consistent
and
basis.
I just want to reassure anyone listening, I am a numbers geek. I love looking at the numbers and I love reassessing things and I love, checks and balances of where we are. And even I struggle with making the time to do it. So for somebody that really doesn't like it or isn't comfortable with it, it's even more of a challenge. And so I just want you to know you're not alone.
Oh yeah. You're totally normal. Totally normal. But because I want you to be happy and successful and stress-free, I encourage you to still take the step forward to, put it on your calendar or to look at your bookkeeping. I can't tell you how many people tell me their bookkeepers, they've outsourced their bookkeeping and then they never look at their reports. It's not exactly as helpful for you when it comes to planning for your business growth and your income growth.
Well, one point to that is I've heard from a few coaching clients that they outsource their bookkeeping. They don't look at their reports frequently. But part of the reason they don't look at their reports more frequently is because they don't quite understand how to read them. They don't quite understand what to look for or what indicators. And that's where somebody like you is super helpful, because you'll look at different products that they're offering and say, your margin on this one's not very good. You might want to think about ways to either increase the price or decrease the expenses tied to it. Or, you have the strategy component of keeping people in line and also helping them out.
Yeah. And sometimes you need to hear that. And I talk about this openly in my life as well. My husband and I, we have our own financial planner also, because I need help. Right. I like the numbers and I am in the numbers, but I still need somebody else just to kind of bounce ideas off of and to help hold me accountable to getting things done, or to tell me, hey, you're, wasting your time in these areas or whatever, just to kind of to bounce, stuff around with. And that's exactly true. So even though it might be uncomfortable and it might not be something you want to hear, you're launching something and you're super excited about it, but I'm going to be the one on the front end that's telling you, okay, let's think about your overhead. Let's think about what you're going to invest in it. Let's think about the coach you want to hire, the copywriter you want to hire, these people that you want to hire, or whatever you need. You want to buy this new printer or invest in this new team member. What's your break even on that? What's your goal behind it? How many of X products or services do you need to sell till you even recoup your investment? Too often people aren't thinking about that. You might save for the goal, or that's fine, but there still should be a break-even point. There still should be a goal that you have by investing your money in certain places in your business or by launching a product, not just make money. But if it's costing you $5,000 and you're making $5,000, okay, well, is it because that you put it in place now and you can relaunch the same thing over and over again and you don't need to reinvest that money and everything else will be a profit? Or is it just a moot thing and now you're really tired and a little bit defeated? Those are the questions to ask.
And there, I've found the questions you've asked me really enlightening. I mean, it's definitely put me in an uncomfortable place at times where I was you made me look at things in a different way and you ask questions. Some of them I was like, yeah, I know this answer, but some of them I had to go think about for a while and really assess. I want to elaborate a little bit more on that example you just gave where, if you're spending $5,000 and if you're earning $5,000, but you're spending $5,000, when we talk about money in general in the industry and how to get more money out of your business, I find that a lot of people lean towards the idea that they need to get more clients, they need to release more products, they need to find ways to increase their revenue. But as you just mentioned, it's also really important to look at your expenses and see how you can get those overhead costs down. So can you talk a little bit about your philosophy and feelings about that?
Yeah, one of the things, so going back to this is why it ties to your personal finances. So what do you actually need to be making or earning or contributing to your household on a personal basis for you to be happy or for you to be financially okay? That includes you're covering the bills, hopefully saving some for retirement, you're paying off debt, you got some of those, you know, general financial boxes checked. So what do you need to be bringing into the household? That's what you need to focus in on your business. Like that's what you should be taking home or earning. And so when you're looking at your expenses and where your money is going, there's the necessary things that you need to have. You know, you might need your office space, your rent might be necessary, utilities, those sort of things. But I look at discretionary, like optional items, like, you know, that coach you want to hire. Okay, that's something that you might be paying for on a consistent basis. However, what is, again, what is your clear-cut goal to get out of that? What are you specifically working with that coach on? Is it like peace of mind and clarity? Because maybe that's not it. But if you're like, no, I'm working with this coach, I'm investing $300 a month, and it's been bringing me $600 a month in revenue, that's one thing. If not, maybe it's time to put that on hold. If you have team members, a lot of people, we start to outsource and delegate, and it can kind of run away from us. But if you are struggling to pay your own bills, but you have team members doing things that you probably could take back on for right now and take some of that financial stress off you, that's a tough decision and conversation you need to have. And I'm actually having that with some of my clients right now is, which do you prefer? Do you prefer to have more flexibility and freedom and time right now and less take-home pay in these areas? Or would you prefer to take this task back on, have that money back, and make maybe a commitment for the next 6 months to, you know, have your schedule be a little bit more full with the things that you don't enjoy as much. So those are some of the areas. Also, I mean, the big things that I see, specific problem areas, buying domain names. How many domain names have you purchased that you're not using that are just sitting there that you're paying
totally
for?
I'm totally guilty of this.
Subscription services, things that you've paid for, like It's almost like the clothes that we've bought that we've never worn that are in our closet that we're paying for on a consistent basis for access to some tools that we might use one day that we're not using, and then we keep paying for them because we feel bad that we haven't leveraged it, right? But you could really probably just cut it. You don't have the time now. You probably won't have the time in the future, or hire a VA and have them download everything off the site that you could need, put it into a saved folder, and cancel the subscription.
I always struggle
saying these things because obviously we're all creatives and everything's intermingled, and a lot of people I speak to offer these same services as well. But you want to make sure that people are actually leveraging your services and leveraging and taking advantage of the products that you're offering. So if those are typically some of the areas, stuff that you're just not taking advantage of and that looks like it would be cool and everybody else is getting it, so therefore you get it too. It's probably not the best for your business. Just because everybody else is investing in it doesn't mean that it's going to be beneficial for you. So it's the discretionary one-off things that I really always want to make sure that you have clear-cut goals around. So those are typically the areas to go first because I find that people don't have them. And until you do, you shouldn't be spending your money in those areas. I'm not against it. If you know that you can get X return on this investment, fantastic. But you have to go in with that specific mindset of what you're looking to do.
I'm sitting here shaking my head yes, like feverishly. I know people can't see that, but I agree with you. And I want to go back to the subscriptions that you were talking about. I used to totally be a sucker for the like pay for a year now because it's a cheaper price per month kind of deal. And I've been bit in the butt a couple times on that actually, because then we got into using it and we were like, this isn't the right fit for us. And so now I've changed my mindset a little bit to know, like, we just started using a new social media tool. And I'm like, nope, let's do 1 month of it. Let's really dig in and try to make it, you know, see if it works for us. And if it works for us after the month is over, let's just calendar change this, convert this to an annual program or, you know, an annual subscription. Because I have one that we're not even using right now, but the subscription ends like later this year or something. And so
exactly.
It feels like such a waste.
I had a client recently who wanted to switch over, I think it was her relationship database to something else. And she's like, but you know, these are the tiers. If you pay for a year, here's what it is versus the monthly. And I was like, well, and then I was like, well, you're already paying for this other one over here. And she's like, well, then we're going to switch it over to this. Like, we're going to switch everything else over. I said, so, okay, so you want to dump money in for a year and you're going to create more work for yourself without having tested it out. And I feel like we know you're not going to actually transfer everything over or have time for that right now. So let's just do monthly, save you what you'd end up paying somebody else anyways, maybe to transfer it over, and we save you like $1,000. I'm like, just let's not make that investment until you are certain that this new side project is actually up and running and worth it.
But those subscriptions, I feel like that's a slippery slope where people kind of go down the rabbit hole of like, oh, like you said, I need that new thing because everyone's doing that new thing. And so let me sign up for it. And then you determine later that, oh, wait, I'm not actually using that. I'm not utilizing it to its fullest potential. Maybe you could have gone with a lower tier.
And that's exactly it. And that's so one of the things when you're looking at your bookkeeping. So the reports that you get from your bookkeeper are always high level. So you see things in certain categories. And I always want to make sure, like, do you have access? Can you log in? Because it would be a pain to email your bookkeeper back and forth and ask for those reports. But what I do at the beginning of every year is I literally have an Excel budget for myself where it's like all of the subscriptions, all of the tools that I use for my business, plus like any contractors, people that I hire who work underneath me. It gets basically listed out, and then I have their line item next to them. So if you don't know what your subscriptions are, the best thing that you can do is log into your bookkeeping software. And when you go into your reports tab, there'll be a profit and loss or like a revenue, net revenue, whatever it's called. You can actually click into each category and you can see the subscriptions underneath each category. You can see the individual line items. When you're looking at your general profit and loss report, you don't really see line items in there. It's not until you dig into the next level down that you start to see, okay, I have these things and these charges that keep hitting. What are they? Are they necessary? So it is more of a research project at first, but that's going to help you to see if there's any areas in your spending that you can cut. And remember, you're cutting your spending so you can pay yourself more. That's the biggest thing. We're not cutting your spending just to cut spending. I'm not telling you to be cheap. I'm telling you to award yourself. Instead of paying the subscription $50, pay yourself $50 because you deserve to be paid more. So those are the areas. Like that's why we're cutting back. We're cutting back so that you can meet your personal goals, not just to be, you know, frivolous.
Right. I will say too, it's super maybe this is the nerd in me, the money nerd in me, the numbers nerd in me. Like, it was so satisfying to find some things that I could cancel and then that money could go back into my pocket. And it was kind of I had to do an assessment. There were some things that we were paying for that we really weren't using. And then there were other things that we were using, but were we maximizing the potential of them or could we do without them? And to be able to cancel those and like, I don't know, put the money towards other things or just add it to my own paycheck. I mean, it just felt really good. Yeah. So it was motivating to find other ways to increase revenue and cut expenses, really.
Yeah. And so when you're doing that, when you're looking at the cash you're freeing up, then you have a goal behind it, right? Either for the business or for your personal side. So you're either building up your business savings cushion. You're going to pay yourself more in payroll. You can use that money that you find for your retirement contributions, and you can actually, you know, reduce your taxes that way by saving for retirement. That money then reduces your taxable income again, just instead of an expense, you know, it's actually going to your future. Yeah. So the math works out better for you. There's lots of goals. And so before you dive into reviewing your spending, one of the things that is important is having that goal around what you're looking for. What are you looking to do? Are you looking to increase your take-home pay? Are you looking to build up your savings cushion to pay off credit card debt if you have that in your business, to save for retirement? Whatever those things are, it's important to have that in mind before you go into just trying to make adjustments and trim costs, because it's not fun to make change if you're not really like certain as to what the benefit is. People don't like changing. So there has to be some sort of incentive.
Right. There needs to be a reason for it. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. Speaking of goals, at PaperCamp Plus this summer, you came and spoke to our group and you talked about having SMART goals around your money, and you had an acronym, the SMART. Can you tell us what that stands for and what it means?
Yeah. So SMART goals are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. So for example, it's something where you're, instead of saying, hey, I want to lose weight this year, or I want to pay off my debt, or I want to launch my business or invest in this team member, it's I want to save $30,000 in the next 3 years to hire this team member for my staff or whatever. And so then you're like, okay, 3 years, $30,000, that's measurable, right? And then you can break that down even further. $10,000 divided by 12. I don't have my calculator and my brain is a little tired. So that's a number. That's like a monthly amount that you're going to say.
I can't do it quickly.
I actually don't know what my calculator is. But whatever that break is broken down to, you want to look and say, okay, each month I need to save this much money. If I want to have 1 year of salary stashed aside for this person, for example, I need to save this much money into a savings account. Is there room in my cash flow to do that? So basically, is it attainable?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, okay, well, that's why we're going to go back and look at our cash flow. Like, does that work? Does it not work? Do we need to adjust? Do we need to maybe push our goal back? If I can't find my $800 a month or whatever it is, do I need to, I think it's like 833. Like, if I can't find that amount.
I love that you're still trying to find that number in your head right now.
Yeah. If you can't find that amount, for example, what do you need to do? Do you need to pay somebody less? Do you need to push your goal out? You start to be able to ask those questions. And then the relevant and timely thing is, okay, is this relevant to me? Do I feel like me hiring somebody for my team is going to be beneficial to my business because it's going to free up my time and therefore I'm going to bring in more revenue? Or do I just want to have somebody for my team so that I can spend more time with my family? Which both sides are okay. You just have to be really aware of why it works for you and your business and your situation. You're not doing it because all the cool kids have a VA on staff and you should have one too. You're doing it because there are specific ways that you're going to leverage it to make yourself happier, make your business grow, or whatever it is. And then the timely thing is, does that work with your time frame? And it goes back to the adjustment. So those are the SMART goals are really important. And those are things that I work with my clients on the personal and the professional side. So personally, it comes down to things like buying houses, selling houses, starting businesses, having babies, changing jobs. And I don't know, 1,000 things that happen in between there in terms of, saving an emergency fund, paying off debt, building up retirement savings. Lots of clients have like goals around all of those things. And so we work to put those in place personally. And then the business is usually around those revenue, or, the paying yourself. Again, we want to focus on what your net revenue is. Who cares what your business is bringing in? Fantastic that people bring in six figures, but seriously, what are you taking home? That is the only thing that matters. Like, what are you paying yourself from this business to support your lifestyle?
Can we dive a little bit deeper on that? Because, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning of this call. There's the whole, like, everyone's looking at what everyone else is doing, right? And you've got some people online, and it's mostly in the service world. I'm not seeing it as much in our product world, where they'll be like, make six or seven figures, or we had this launch that was six or seven figure launches. And I mean, good for those people if that's what they're doing. But you really, truly don't know what their take home is. You don't know what their expenses are. You don't know. I mean, maybe they're bringing home a dollar. Maybe they are bringing home six figures, but like, I just feel like it does create this, I don't want to say it's fake or like fraudulent or like misleading, but it kind of, I don't know. Like
inauthentic, unauthentic, what's proper? Is that a word? Am I making up a word?
That's a better way to phrase it. Yeah. It's just not authentic.
Yeah. You're not comparing yourself to somebody's real life. You're comparing yourself to somebody's fake life. And so when you're thinking that, when somebody's talking about how they created these launches, I think it does a disservice to a lot of people, especially women, because women, we're such sharers and we're such givers and we constantly want to refer and like work and we're very hard on ourselves. We're trying to multitask. And so there's just this constant comparison game. And when we talk about these high level numbers, it puts the focus there when, again, like that's not even where the focus should be. And a lot of times I talk about this a lot because a lot of times we don't even know to be asking those questions of like, oh yeah, that's right. What were your expenses? Oh, so you didn't make that much or you had to hire this whole team. And so, well, that's really more relevant because not even that, but let me tell you, when you start digging into people's expenses and so what they actually net from a launch or a business or whatever, then ask them how many hours they put into it and you start calculating what their hourly, take home rate would be. And then it's a whole nother story. And so you'd be surprised the number of people who are making below minimum wage in their businesses that you think are probably very successful. And it's just, it's not a true thing. And so that's the thing I always want to make sure when you're setting goals and when you're planning out your finances for your business or for your personal self, I think it just needs to be really focused on your life. And even me as a financial planner, I don't know if I've talked about this with you, but like I'm being mentored by another financial planner right now who's bigger and telling me my goals are, like not big enough for me. And I'm like, look, buddy, I'm in like, growth mode for my family. And I have different goals in the industry. And so that's scary to be, it's scary to be different. It's scary to feel like maybe I'm not going big enough or maybe I'm too small or maybe it's not good to be different. But then I take a step back and I'm like, no, like this is what I want to do. This is going to be what works for my life right now, for my clients, and who cares what anybody else is doing? At the end of the day, what everybody else is doing doesn't matter. It's not going to affect your bottom line. It's not going to affect your retirement savings. We get so worked up in other people's thoughts. And I'm a big believer in, I like constructive criticism. I want to know, if I'm slacking off, I want to know if I can do better and I want to be pushed and challenged, but I am not going to feel bad about myself because somebody's business is taking home seven figures and mine's not there because you know what? even probably want that responsibility. Like, I couldn't imagine. Right. Like, I have a growing young family. So, and that for me right now is not a desire of mine. Maybe it will be 5 to 10 years from now when I get more sleep. But, you know, those are different things.
Sleep. Oh, I want sleep. going back to the constructive criticism thing, I'm a firm believer in that as well. And I always seek out feedback from our alumni when they come to paper camp or from my coaching clients. I feel like the more I can improve things, the better. However, I will also say that there's always going to be people that are willing to give you opinions. And just because they're sharing their opinion doesn't mean that that's something you have to do. So knowing yourself and knowing what those goals are that you just described and knowing what you want for your family from a financial standpoint, as well as just a lifestyle standpoint, and whether if you don't have a family, just yourself or your, you and your partner, but like knowing what you as an individual want out of your life, then ultimately you need to go make those decisions. But having thought through these things and getting the feedback and being pushed in different ways, I do think it's helpful. I do think it's important, but you also have to be confident enough in knowing what you want.
Yeah, you have to take it with a grain of salt. And that's exactly it. Like, I'm not offended. I've never been one of those people that's necessarily been offended. If somebody's got something to say, I'll take it. And if I can improve upon something, fantastic. But if it's not aligned with what I want to do or my vision, great. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts with me. That's, you know, I'll consider it, but, you know, and then I'll go, you know, then I'll go and think about it. And the big thing that I've learned recently and that I help my clients to work through too, is like, what's your number? And I'm doing this for my, like, we're doing this in our house right now as well. Like, what is, like, what do you need to make from your business to be happy? Like, what do you need to pay yourself? What does, what covers your lifestyle? You're like maxing out your retirement to make sure that you can retire at whatever age it is, your travel, your personal goals, or you're trying to save for kids' college. Whatever it is, like, what does your annual income need to be? What do you need to pay yourself? That's what you focus on. Doesn't matter, again, that's what everybody else is doing. Point. That's it. Like, that's what you're working towards, is that that dream number right there. And if it's 100,000, if it's 200,000, 300,000, whatever it is, if you're trying to, you know, retire your spouse from their job so they can work in your business, like, those all, those are all things to come into play. But figure out what that number is to cover your bills and live your life to the, you know, make yourself happy. And that's all you really need to focus on.
I feel like that should be the focus for both beginners in business as well as people that have been in business for a while. Would you agree?
I completely agree. Yes. Because that's, I mean, even for me right now, I'm like, that's where, when it came back to me setting goals, I obviously want to grow a successful business and do these things, but I'm like, what's my aim? What's my goal here right now? What's the short and long term? And, you know, what's my number? That's it. It's like, what's the number like that? And that's, you know, it's an emotional number, but it's an emotional number that would bring a boat ton of happiness for for me and for my family, and I'd be able to pursue my passion. So why, you know, if I got there, of course, like during that time frame, I'll be setting bigger and better goals. But most of us are still young too, right? We're still in our 30s, 40s, even if we're in our 50s. Typical retirement doesn't happen until 65, 70. And so when you think of it that way, I know. Right? When you're pursuing your passion, your lifestyle will look different when you're starting to check these financial boxes. And so we have this, like, not to say that you have time on your side, start saving now, please, but because compound interest works for you, but like, there's time to do, we'll adjust our goals. We're not going to reach some endpoint and be like, done, like, I'm out, we're good. You know, very likely there's going to be life that's happening and your goals and things will adjust. And that's financial planning. We create this document and this recommendations, and we basically use it as a guidepost to kind of go back to, because life always changes. And we're like, okay, we still on track for these goals, or have these goals changed? Like, what are we change? You know, what do we need to make adjustments to along the way? It's just like a map.
I was going to echo that sentiment too by saying there's different seasons in life. So what that number is for you, it may be your number now, but maybe in a couple years, because I know you're expecting a child soon and you've got another little one, like, maybe that number is going to change later because you want either more time or you need more money to do whatever it is. And I know personally with my family, I'm experiencing the same. There's definitely been times where I was like, nope, I want more time. So I'm willing to have like a smaller paycheck and have more people or whatever it is. And then there's other times where I'm like, nope, but we have, you know, I don't know, but we need the reverse. So I think it's important just to remind people that there's different seasons in life. That number may be changing, the goals may be changing, but it's just important to constantly be considering them and thinking about them. And
that's it. It's just kind of giving your finances space in your life. And that's why I say it doesn't have to be scary. When you're like, you're really dreaming, you're allowing yourself to dream. And I guess it's scary to think of those numbers, but again, it's small steps. It's what do you need to do to get there? Do you need to get that retirement plan set up? Do you need to have a conversation with your spouse? Do you need to make adjustments to your spending? that's all stuff that comes with time, but we always start, it goes back to like those SMART goals. You don't start trying to make any changes to your finances until you know what your goals are. So if you have a general idea of your debt, and I asked that question, and I know we've talked about this, 3 years from today, what would have had to happen personally, professionally, and financially for you to be happy with the progress that you've made? And so I set your time frame right there, like 3 years out, what needs to happen? And people will start, you know, rolling off things like, I've left my job, I'll be doing my business full time, I'll have, you know, maxed out retirement savings, I'll paid off debt. When whatever comes to mind in those things, or you would have, you know, had another baby, whatever it is, bought a new car, bought a house, whatever comes to mind, like those things should be jotted down, because then you're going to start, that's when you're going to start doing the research of like, okay, well, I'd be out of debt. Like, well, what does that look like? How much debt am I in? Yeah. Or retirement? Like, what do I need to save? You'll start asking questions. So answering just that question to start, and separately from your significant other too, this is where like the personal side comes in. If you're paired off, you answer these things separately and then come together. Don't try and create a list of goals together. So you end up influencing each other and not necessarily having that like true conversation. So I always say answer separately and then come together for a conversation to prioritize. But I say start with the goals.
I had a hard time with that question when you asked it to my husband and I. Of course, my responses were a lot more concrete. He was like, yeah, life is good. And I was like, oh, this is why I love you. You keep me grounded.
That's my husband. He was like, we're fine. I'm like, no, here's the things we have to do.
Right, exactly.
That's for me. That's what I think is start with your goals and have an accountability partner, though. There's a financial planner. If you and your spouse don't communicate as well, definitely a financial planner can help to hold, you know, help you to kind of navigate that conversation and help you to lay out the next steps. But having somebody you can reach out to who's like a neutral third party to keep you on track is probably going to be your best bet for making progress. If you know you're the kind of person who isn't going to make the progress on your own.
Yeah. And I mean, not to sway people from hiring somebody like you, but if you don't have the means to hire a financial planner, find a friend that you're comfortable, that you feel like you kind of run your businesses in similar ways. And you're, you know, you've got to be transparent. You got to be comfortable sharing the real deal and the real numbers there, because you need somebody that can hold you accountable and call you out on your crap if you need to, or whatever it is. But I actually have a girlfriend that I went to college with, and she's in a totally different field. She's a teacher, but she's had a kind of a side gig for a while. And we love talking numbers. We would talk about retirement. We're such dorks. We like would talk about retirement at 21 and 22 and like all the money we put into our IRA and all this stuff. And, you know, having somebody like that in my life that had these priorities, and frankly, back then, that was before I was married and before I had kids, it felt easier. Like that, I could make those my priorities a lot easier than I can now, because we need the money to go to other things too. But my point is just find somebody that you can relate to and you can be transparent with, and you can just hold each other accountable, as you said.
I completely agree. I mean, we have a financial planner, but I still have a good friend who's another advisor building her business. She's a planner as well. And we talk numbers all the time. Like, here's the numbers here. Like, and we'll celebrate wins, or we'll, you know, encourage each other in different ways, whether it's retirement savings, like what to pay the team members, different things. And you want, even if you have a financial planner, I encourage you to find people, like trusted people, trusted like contacts and people who, you know, aren't going to ever share your information with somebody else. But talking about money takes practice. And it takes a lot to get comfortable with it. But one of the things that, you know, that you think about, especially if you have families and kids around, is the more comfortable you are talking about finances and asking questions, the more comfortable, the better influence it's going to be for your children. They're going to learn to ask those questions, and they're going to learn to better manage their finances over time as well. They're going to see how things are done. So even like having a conversation with your spouse about how should we handle allowances, you know, how do we handle like gifts for the kids? How do we handle giving back? Like, those are conversations to have as well. So when you're thinking about stuff like that, or if you're not paired off yet, just getting comfortable having that friend that you can talk to, because you want to also, it impacts everything, whether it's you have team members and you're trying to figure out, they want raises and maybe you're not prepared to give them the raise yet, or you want to pay yourself more, you want to negotiate price increases with clients or on products or certain things, like that's going to take practice and getting comfortable. And you want to have that person that you can practice with and say, here's what I'm thinking. I have this big conversation around X project coming up. You know, can I bounce my ideas around with you? And can you maybe give me some pushback so that I feel confident going into this negotiation, you know, talking about my value?
to that same point, I have been talking with a lot of people that are being approached by big box stores. So product makers that, you know, want to sell in larger stores. And that typically means selling at higher volume. That typically means negotiations around cost and who's paying for what, shipping and the ticketing and all these other things. And so I would say, I would even venture to say that the money talks about retirement and team, the smaller money talks are preparation for some of those bigger money talks that you may have to have in your business, such as talking to some of the big box stores and actually holding your ground and saying, no, I won't pay for that, or I will pay for that, or I won't discount this, or I will discount that.
And that's exactly it. You have to know your, and that's why the numbers are so important, especially in those situations. So you have to know your margins. You have to know what you're giving up. You can't, if you agree to something that's going to impact your bottom line that extensively, you know, how much, how is that impacting your business? How is that impacting your take home? Having a clear idea of what you're leaving on the table or what you're fighting for is huge. And it can be intimidating to have those conversations, especially with bigger companies. So going in,
especially when you're a small,
especially when you're a small company. So doing the practice and doing the preparation ahead of time, digging in, doing your research is really important.
Okay. So you've told us to set our goals. You've told us to choose our number. How do you feel about having two numbers? One is like the main number and then one is maybe like a reach number.
Oh, I love that. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, if you can have two numbers, I think that's fantastic. You want the main thing. I always say, like, what's your main bare minimum? Like, what do you need just to like do the things, like live your life? What's that number? And then what's your, hey, we're like taking that annual trip every year, you know, or paying off a mortgage early or whatever it is. What's that number? Yeah, have that number in mind too. Because once you get to the, you're going to get to the other number. When you start getting clear and you start some steps, you'll get that to that number. And then your next part will be like that dream budget. So I think I like having the two numbers.
I do too. It's kind of,
it's fun and it's scary. It's exciting though. You know, I think that's just, and it is constantly changing. Life changes, like I said, but I'm a total nerd and I have so many spreadsheets. It's ridiculous. And I've been up at like 3 a.m. I also have notes on my phone, like 3 a.m. Like, here's the numbers I've calculated for these different scenarios.
Well, I will say I like how thorough you are, because it makes me feel like, one, I'm not alone. I've got somebody else that thinks like me. And you also look at things from a very different perspective. You know, I'm coming at it from one way. I'm coming from the place of I'm really deep in this business. I have an emotional attachment to this business because I've started it. I've created it. Everything we do involves me, you know, and there's that personal side of it that's sometimes hard to make decisions because that's there. And so
you want to be nice, and that's the hard, you want to, your, the emotional side is huge. And I was just talking to a client this morning, and you want to give discounts, you want to help people, you want to just help people. A lot of times you want to help people, you want to help your clients, you want to help your customers, you want them to be happy, you want to bring happiness, and you feel bad like if they can only afford X, they can only do these things. And it's so hard to stop from discounting yourself because of those emotions, because we're just like inherently, we want people to be happy, we're people pleasers and connectors. But it does. It comes back to, at the end of the day, like, we're not doing this pro bono. You very likely do your volunteer work. And I will say, in terms of business, I recommend always saying, setting boundaries on what you do pro bono, like X amount of dollars per year, X amount of time per year, who specifically you will do pro bono work with, who you will not. That way you are not going above and beyond. Like, I have clear boundaries now on who I will give my time to and who I won't give my time to, who I charge for it. So that's one of the big things is getting clear there. But you're not doing this for free. This is a business, and you want it to be successful, and you want it to sustain your goals and your lifestyle and your family. And without you getting paid, you're really just creating stress and taking yourself even further away from those things that matter to you on the personal side.
Yeah.
It's hard to make that connection for yourself though, right? Especially if you're trying, like, you're in like a spiral. So being that person, and I'm like, obviously I'm very nice. Like, I joke that my mastermind was just like, you're the Italian mom. Like, you're super sweet, but then you'll whack somebody with a wooden spoon when they need a reality check. And so I'm like, I don't know if people need another Italian mom. I have one. It's scary enough. But yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Sometimes we just need that outside party to be like, look, you're working so hard and you deserve to get paid. Don't you want to get paid? And you're like, yes. So
no, I think it's good. I think it's helpful. I mean, there's definitely times where, you know, I'll want to go to bat for something too. And you'll be like, all right, let's talk it out then, you know? So, and I appreciate that too, but you're right. I mean, I started my business and many others started their businesses because we wanted to serve others. We wanted to make, you know, have products or services that really impacted other people's lives. And I like what you said too about setting specific boundaries about what you'll do your pro bono for and what you won't. I think that also makes it easier to say yes to the right opportunities and no to the wrong opportunities if you've kind of created some structure around that.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of where I found myself within a year or two of being in business. When the media stuff started happening, I found myself with a lot of people reaching out to pick my quote unquote, pick my brain. And yeah. I was spending a lot of time. And then I realized, okay, well, where do I want to make an impact in my industry? Who do I want to help? Who do I want to give back to? And for me personally, just financial planning, I want to see more young women in the industry. I want young women advancing their careers. I want them to, you know, feel empowered, and college students. So I decided it was college. I have specific military stuff I do. And then young women who reach out to me who just want to need career advice. I will always make time. But then anybody else, if they're typically in a career, if they're looking for like marketing stuff, want to know how I'm doing marketing, blah, blah, blah. I just charge an hourly consulting right now. I have a template email that I've sent. And I say, thanks so much for reaching out. Here's what I charge. Feel free to schedule time here. And if not, here's some free, you know, I have a template that's like, here's free resources that you.
Well, I was going to say too, you offer quite a bit of free information. So for anyone listening, Mary Beth, why don't you tell them where they can find you online and tell them specifically about your podcast too, because it's a wealth of info.
Oh, sure. So you can find me online at workablewealth.com. And then my podcast is called Work Your Wealth. It goes in line with my book that launched last year. It's called Work
Your Wealth. Which is also excellent.
It was called Work Your Wealth, 9 Steps to Making Smarter Choices with Your Money. The podcast, I do solo episodes and I do interview business owners, thought leaders about their finances. So basically it's about how to make smarter choices with your money, whether it's in business, in your personal finances, it's in life. And then from there, I had my husband on recently and we went all into how we handle things on our finances. And yeah, so that's the podcast. And then next year I will be coming out with Work Your Wealth for Entrepreneurs. That's going to talk a lot about what we talked about today, which is the merging of personal finances and business finances. And so it's geared towards small business owners, but just again, setting those goals for yourself so that you're paying yourself in line with your personal finances, but checking those boxes of what structure should you be? How do you pay taxes? When do you pay yourself? How do you pay yourself? When do you hire? So kind of walking through those questions that I help a lot of my clients with.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait to read the second book. The first one was amazing, and I really loved your podcast too. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today. This was phenomenal, and I know everyone's going to gain a lot from hearing what you talked about.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
All right. I am hearing a ton of feedback from people that are struggling with things like cash flow, hiring help, or they're looking for new revenue streams to layer into their existing business model. Well, this summer, I hosted a live event that was specifically for our TSBC alumni to help them scale and strengthen their businesses. This program was called Paper Camp Plus, but what we talked about went way beyond the paper industry. PaperCamp Plus was built for anyone running a small business who wants to refine their business operations so that they're working smarter and not harder. This content was way too good to hoard to ourselves and the 30 people that were in the room. So we're bringing PaperCamp Plus to you in an on-demand format, and it's available now for you to enroll. You can watch all 7 videos in one swoop, or you can pick and choose programs based upon what you need help with right now. Our speakers included Tanya Dalton of Inkwell Press, Kristen Lay from Thimble Press, Amber McHugh, Raina Pomeroy, and Mary Beth Storjahan. We talked about building better systems, cloning ourselves so that we can get more done in a day, how to manage our money and save for retirement, licensing and collaborations, as well as real talk about fear and confidence. If you are struggling with any of these things, head over to tradeshowcamp.com and look for the Paper Camp Plus on demand. Or you can find the link here in our show notes too. But running a small business is not easy, and you don't have to go it alone. We have solutions and resources to help you get ahead. Join us at tradeshowcamp.com, then click on Paper Camp Plus to enroll. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them up-level, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.